Perfection, a Warhammer 40,000 audio drama by Nick Kime. Performed by Gareth Armstrong, Jane Collingwood, Chris Fairbank, Jonathan Keeble, and David Timpson. Produced by Heavy Entertainment for Black Library. Blood slit the earthworks of Fortius Tertius. Rourke staggered as he lost his footing. It was his blood, though the realization of that came slowly because of the suddenness and violence of the attack. Rourke was a veteran of Vardask. Campaigning was his life. He'd held the walls of Dragon IV during the uprising, held the Grand Marshal's banner for 8 years, held his rank for 15 more. Now, he couldn't even hold in his guts. Ropes of ruby-red intestine looped around his knees, unfurling like streamers from a crescent moon slash in his stomach. The bloody deluge spilling underfoot drained quickly from the wound. For 23 years, Rourke had been a lieutenant in the Vardaskian Fifth. It took less than 3 seconds for him to die. His killer was a swordsman of peerless grace, who killed without visible effort. This champion of dark gods, of whispered perversions and unholy consorts, was the arch-enemy. Yet Sergeant Cameron was awed by his lethal skill. Even witnessed through the lenses of his magnoculars, it was mesmeric. A cloying musk filled his nostrils, his head spun, swaying. He caught the edge of the wall at the last moment before he toppled off and into the melee unfolding below. Shaking his head, Cameron tried to focus, but the swordsman was angelic, perfection itself. Every hypnotic sweep of the blade, the arterial spray jetting from his victims in pseudo-artistic expression. He couldn't avert his gaze. Feeling his sanity slipping, Sergeant Cameron opened up the comm bead in his ear.
Captain Honor, one of the flawless! He's here, leading the assault on Fortius Tertius!
Cameron shook his head, amazed.
He kills?
He struggled for the right words. Words that wouldn't get him burned for heresy.
It's like watching a dancer, ma'am. Almost angelic.
Ripping through the fabric of real space, dagger-edged ships of heliotrope purple and pearlescent silver had brought the Incarnadine host to Vardask. Spoken through the decaying skulls of their previous conquests, a union of ritual magic and debased science, the Flawless had announced their dominance of the world. The native Vardaskians had mustered their entire garrison and marched out to Urztok Field to oppose the invaders. 33,000 men had died in that engagement. After that, the rest of the Vardaskians had retreated behind bastion walls and dug in. It was to be a moot gesture. Vardask's hours of remaining freedom were numbered. Static marred the Voxlink before a Vardaskian officer answered.
Marshal your resolve, Sergeant. It is an abomination. Hate it, and find the Emperor in the purity of that. Another charge is this side of the wall.
It sounded like the captain had already accepted her death.
Two of them, ma'am? I heard Major Fitari's comtrans before.
Captain Honor cut through his fear.
Yes, though this one is a butcher. A throne. They have taken the southeast battlements.
The Iron 16th held that garrison. They were veteran fighters, the hardest Cameron had ever known. He swung the scopes around. Hordes of cult warriors clad in strange and esoteric battle gear poured over the shattered walls and earthworks. An earlier barrage from some distant heavy battery of rocket tubes or grenade launchers had struck it, and now the Chaos forces were storming through the breach. It was utterly overrun. Massacre was too soft a word for it. Cameron lowered the scopes and wept. From a gun emplacement on Fortius Secundus, just a few hundred meters away from the defensive wall now held by the enemy, Captain Honor looked on in grim fear. The defenders, soldiers who had held for 16 days against the greenskin of Aura 6, who had won laurels at the Battle of Keyloth's Hill, had capitulated in less than an hour. 1 hour. The remains of the Iron 16th were being torn apart by a butcher with the face of an angry demon. Scarred and pitted, barely visible through the rolling fog of smoke coming off the Vardask war engines, he was a beast, this warrior. Certainly no angel, like the champion Sergeant Cameron described. Decapitating the last of the Vardaskian resistance on the third wall, the butcher dropped down into the killing field between the defenses. Honor raised a hand, was glad it didn't tremble, and made a fist. The Flawless were the worst of the Horde, its champions and war leaders. The brave men and women of Vardas could have beaten cultists, even their heavier armed traitor battalions, but not the Flawless. Rumors, horror stories really, persisted about their prowess and ruthless fury. None had stood against them and lived. It was the first time Honor had even seen one since the battle had begun. This creature could not reach the line. If it did, they were finished.
Shoot him down! All weapons!
Along Fortius Secundus, a cannonade split the night. Ranks of Lascans opened up against the Horde, piercing robed cultists on spears of light, pummeling flak-jacketed chaos troopers with hard, heavy bolter fire. A chain of mortar explosions unstitched a seam of earth in the killing field and sent three bomb-carrying zealots back to hell. Their combined explosives engulfed another cultist cohort in a conflagration as the zealots were carried to rapture. Honor made a fist of triumph, surprised at her own relief. It didn't last. The butcher barreled through the flames, shrugging off glancing las hits, snarling as they burned and bit but failed to slow. It clove through a swathe of razor wire as if it were parchment, axe blade burring with a maw of chained teeth. Chunks of gore spat loose as it growled, blood sprayed. Some of it hit Honor's uniform all the way up in the gun emplacement. Too close for the cannons in her nest now. The angle was all wrong. Close quarters beckoned, ugly and brutal and blood red. It was coming at the wall. That's where she'd meet it. Fighting the urge to gag, Honor drew her power sword and whispered a prayer to the Emperor as she activated the weapon's energy field. Nothing could have made that leap. Nothing should have been capable of making that leap. And yet the swordsman had mounted the edge of the battlements, sword drawn. Pearlescent silver shone from the blade's edge, reflecting in mirror-clad armor. Heliotrope purple veined the battleplate, the form-fitting echo of the hell ships that had knifed through the Sea of Souls to come and kill them. He stood there for a moment, the time frozen as if in amber, and simply basked. Cascading from his head, a mane of golden hair caught the light. A beauteous, androgynous smile illuminated his face. Cameron could only see one side of it. The swordsman stood in profile to him. He fumbled his weapon, slow to find the trigger, slow to find his will. Veterans, battle-hard campaigners with the scars and medals to prove it, died like infants. Barabaras fell first, transfixed through the neck by monomolecular steel. Then Clada split from groin to sternum. Unser became a headless corpse, his neck hole spewed red like a geyser as he dropped. Booted feet crushed what remained of his twitching corpse as his ex-comrades took flight. The sight of it broke the conscripts. The press-ganged rookies fell to their knees and begged. Mercy was granted at the edge of the swordsman's blade. Every kill was a perfect note, an exercise in form and martial efficacy. Then, the swordsman turned. Limbs spun like leaves caught on a feral breeze, releasing contrails of blood as they pinwheeled into darkness. struggling to reach the front. Honor watched a corporal lose half his skull to the butcher's axe. It slid loose like a cleaved stone slab, revealing an anatomical cross-section of brain and musculature beneath. Her aide, Lonsman, was cut in two across the waist, his entrails spilled underfoot. One guardsman slipped, fell to his death. Poor swine's screams were still echoing when Honor drew close enough to attack. She braced herself for a monster. What she got was neither that nor an angel. It was both.
Close! And repel!
Cameron urged what was left of his men, swinging the combat shotgun up to his hip. A piece of vile, schizophrenic portraiture smiled and scowled at him from the battlements. It was split, a fusion of rage and serenity, a deadly amalgam of swordsman and butcher. Cameron tried not to balk as he yanked the trigger. The discharge was deafening, even above the thunderous roar of the battle. Shot peppered the walls but went wide of the mark, shredding a pair of cultists coming in the wake of their champion. He saw Captain Honor, her battle-ravaged face set like stone. Lips moved in the silent articulation of a prayer. Ever since basic training, she had never been beaten in the fencing arena. No officer of the Vardaskian had ever even cut her in practice or tournament conditions. She thrust, a death blow, a certain killstroke directed at the flawless. Cameron prayed too. Engagements were happening across the length and breadth of Fortius Secundus. The lost third wall and its garrison of bloodied corpses was a distant memory, only hinted at by the screaming of those dying slowly below. Their death cries faded to white noise as the blade sank in. At first, she felt a swell of triumph, then numbing cold, as Captain Honor realized she had missed. A long sword of staggering beauty was lodged in her breastbone all the way to the hilt. Breath, like lavender and old blood, washed over her in a soporific musk. One smiling angel eye regarded her, revealing the pleasure of the kill. The other, veined with black blood, pulsed angrily. Honor closed her eyes. Cameron wanted to run. He wanted to hide. Captain Honor lay in half, hacked in two by a butcher's blade, ribs and organs exposed, leaking blood steam into the chill night air. Metal tanged his tongue. He almost puked. The shotgun was gone, left behind when he ran. Men were heaving other men out of the way. Order surrendered, chaos reigning. Cameron felt a twinge, a small pinprick of heat in his back. He stopped running. There was nothing to run against. Inertia deserted him. His feet were off the ground, dangling, puppet-like. A blade jutted through his chest. Its edge was like white fire, cutting surgically through flesh and bone. It reached his neck, his chin, his nose. Cutting, cutting. So fine, so perfectly, Cameron didn't realize he was dead until the blade slipped through the apex of his skull and he slid open. Gutted like a fish.
One for the butcher, one for the blade.
Ardantes smiled as he beheld the slaughterhouse of guardsmen surrounding him on the battlements. Slaying enemy officers was delicious, but the satiation never lasted. Releasing first a grunt of pain and then a whisper of pleasure, he clutched the gauntlet fastened to the butcher's wrist.
Capricious!
Something lived. Ardantes heard it whimper, the rapid beating of a heart on the verge of expiration. Fear will do that. So will beauty. Using the pointed toe of his armored boot, Ardantes turned over a corpse and found a live soldier beneath. The blood-spattered uniform, all torn and fire-blackened, drew a sneer to his ugly, perfect mouth.
Such a dirty little creature, sullying my blade.
A red-smeared cleaver split the man's face in two. It broke through the nose, crushed the bone, and flattened it against the skull, before pushing on through the cheek, cracking that too until shearing open the brain, dissecting it until finally lodging in the rock crete under the soldier's head. Butcher shook the weapon loose with a grunt of strength, flicking blood. Ardantes took a step back from the gory shower.
Not on the armor.
He spoke to no one in particular.
Talking to yourself again, Ardantes.
Another of the flawless had gained the battlements. He was broad, thick-necked, but heaved his bulk over the crenellations easily. Ardantes was careful not to show his back to the newcomer, for Vidar was quite the ambitious servant of ruin. An exotic carbine weapon with a fluted barrel and an array of angular shunts protruding from the oil-black stock hung from his massive shoulder on a strap of human skin. He had named it Discordia, recalling an ancient legion affectation to give a weapon an honorific. One half of his heavily muscled body was unarmed, but bound in leather. A slit ran down his chin, bisecting it like an old wound.
Brother, have you come to witness my artistry?
Ardantes sheathed his weapons. Vidar regarded him with cold black eyes and snorted.
You look conflicted about it.
Ardantes angled his head imperiously, so only the patrician side was visible.
Amusing.
Vidar's reply was lost as he snapped around as if yanked by a hook. The split down his chin widened into a chasmal maw. Survivors missed during the massacre were rallying, a long barreled cannon stacked with fresh magazines clutched between them. Shriek was not an accurate enough word for what emitted from Vidar's lips. Discordant and atonal, it hit the soldiers like a blast wave, eclipsing their screams and shredding uniforms to rags. Bones became powder, blood boiled, 15 men erased from existence with only a crimson stain as evidence of their passing. The reverb died. Icarus saliva drooled from Vidar's mouth as it resealed. He wiped his chin with the back of his gauntlet, scoring the metal with acid burns.
That is a perfect kill.
Lacking subtlety, though, brother.
Vidar regarded the still twitching bodies, the half-chewed viscera piled around them.
I see precious little subtlety here. Are you gnawing on the dead yet, or is your animal on a tighter leash?
One side of Ardantes' face smiled, whilst the other seethed. Butcher never spoke, for beasts should not be afforded a tongue. But he felt. Rage was his voice. Ardantes gestured to the opposite end of the wall.
I was perfecting a symphony. Do you like it?
I loathe it, brother. Here!
He gestured beyond the second wall. Ardantes followed his gaze. The enemy fortifications were based on a series of defensive barricades, augmented by towers and cannon emplacements. Ringed by harvests of razor wire and fully garrisoned, each wall was more heavily fortified than the last. Banks of compacted earth raised each subsequent barrier higher than its predecessor in a sloping tier, crested by a bastion. The traitor hordes of the Incarnadine host were assailing the final barrier now. Resistance looked fierce.
You'll have ample opportunity to rein the beast in and kill as Fulgrim taught us to up there.
There was a resonant quality to Vidar's tone, a suggestion of the vocal barrage he could unleash from his mouth, running as an undercurrent to his mortal voice. Vidar met his brother's gaze.
Without flaw, this is just a mess.
Ardantes bristled, hand straying to the hilt of his long sword and drawing a short length of steel, but with the blade still well in its scabbard. Pain from the gauntlet pierced his arm and shoulder with daggers of fire. Vidar hadn't noticed and was already advancing when a ship hove into view overhead. Looking up, Ardantes recognized the snarling teeth icon of a rival warband. He slid his sword back into its sheath.
Dogs for the hunt.
Three more ships joined the first. Battered and war-torn, they looked fresh from battle.
Aye, they are dogs, all right. Cornets. Worse than your bloody beast.
What are they doing here?
Ardantes was watching the vessels land, thrusters disgorging a pall of noxious smoke and displaced grit.
Same as us. Plundering, killing, surviving.
Can't have more sharks in the blood pool. What will we all eat?
Each other.
Above them, the assault continued. Ardantes smiled cruelly.
I hope we meet on the battlefield. I wonder if they will die hard.
Vidar answered with a derisive snort as he forged up towards the next barricade.
Hurry, unless you want to share scraps with those dogs.
Ardantes drew his long sword, unfastened his chain axe, and followed. Aquilius was supposed to meet them at the northeast facing of the wall. In his absence, Vidar went in first. 400 cult warriors and a battalion of traitor army, the apostates, followed them through the breach. A rank of Vardaskian troopers met the enemy with a burst of disciplined blast fire. Lesser mortals, the unarmored cult warriors, were pinned by beams and cut down. Vidar weathered the storm like it was rain beating on his chest, shoulders, and back, not Lasfire. Opening his maw, he unleashed his hell scream. Several cultists, unfortunate enough to be in its path, collapsed, ears bleeding. In the Imperial battlements, the effects were much worse. Flesh, blood, and bone became mist. The Las Barrage eased. Vidar's chest heaved. Acid drool burned his lip and chin where he could no longer seal the cleft in his face. Even gifts of the Dark Prince had their limits. Gunnery crews cowering behind sandbagged emplacements lit up. Muzzle flares burned in star flashes from autocannon and rapier mounts. Power armor was formidable protection, but the heavy guns would rip it open. Rip him open. Hunkering behind a half-sundered archway, Vidar returned fire with his carbine. A focused beam of sonic energy burst an emplacement apart. Its crew pitched over the defenses, ears and eyes bleeding. A rush of cultists fell on the injured Vardaskian gunners, cutting with their ritual knives. Ardantes was running, weaving through a fusillade of lasbolts that had lessened because of Vidar's brutal efforts and the counterfire of the apostates. Pistols, rifles, carbines were so imperfect. Ardantes honored Slaanesh with his blade. It kissed flesh, carved it beautifully for the children of the warp to feast. An officer wearing a power fist and a knot of heavy armored men in dark green carapace impeded his advance. Standing in formation, they blocked the summit of the steps that led to the cannons, desperately trying to end Vidar. Dodging his slow punch, Ardantes disemboweled the officer before reversing his thrust and criss-crossing it over two of the bodyguards. A third trooper he speared through the neck, releasing a jet of dark fluid when he withdrew the blade to bisect another. Butcher claimed the fifth, whacking the churning edge of the chain axe into the soldier's body, tearing up bone like kindling. He barely paused. Ardantes leapt the still falling corpses. So fast, it was as if he moved through a different sphere of time. Death slowed around him, even as his pace increased. More troopers were spilling from alcoves, rallied by a black-jacketed officer with a cap that bore an iron skull icon below the peak. He was shouting, spitting froth and further to get his men to charge.
Can you hear the music?
Ardantes was murdering them, slicing them open in a flawless dance of death. Choreographed perfectly, he slew his way to the spouting officer.
I will make a symphony of your flesh!
The officer spat something back, probably a curse, and Ardantes laughed as he made the cut. Steel arrested his flow, and he looked down as the officer parried his expert thrust. Ardantes frowned.
His expression deepened to incredulity when the officer's blade nicked his cheek. His block was instinctive, but still the mortal had somehow cut his flesh.
The flawless do not bleed.
An overhead thrust, faster than it had any right to be, was turned aside as Ardantes gave more attention to his opponent. Other soldiers who tried to wade in were dispatched with barely conscious thought. Butcher strained at the leash, but Ardantes healed him. This was no ordinary enemy. It was a singular creature indeed, and certainly no mere soldier.
Clever!
The exchange of blows became a blur as Ardantes realized what he was fighting. Turning another blow, he fashioned a rib-breaking punch into the creature's chest. It dropped its guard, taking another hit on the shoulder, drawing blood. Ardantes pressed his advantage, aiming a thrust, but the creature flipped back, discarding its blade to land on its palms. Propelled by the forearms, it sprang up and put distance between them. Smiling thinly, Ardantes surged after it. All the while, the skin of the officer, his black jacketed form, was shedding. Like ash, it flaked from the officer's body in a dark, disintegrating swathe. When it was done, Ardantes faced a lithe female in a tight-fitting body glove. She drew a humming monomolecular blade from a flesh sheath in her hip. Hidden behind a mask painted to resemble a human skull, Ardantes couldn't see the assassin's face, but he believed it would be angry. Her fighting posture was familiar to him.
I have killed your kind before, many, many years ago. It was another time. Another life.
She charged. Her attack was perfect, her form exquisite. Ardantes found a simple counter. The assassin's second thrust was better, improvised. Something else was fueling it, an unpredictability that fashioned a beautiful riposte from the flawless.
Worthy indeed. I shall keep your head when this is over and tell it of the meaning of perfection.
Blade to blade, they matched one another for every stroke. A cut across Ardantes' thigh forced a grimace, but his sacrifice allowed a counter that cleaved a gouge in the assassin's side. Her armored body glove took off the killing edge, but she was bleeding badly. Inwardly, Ardantes smiled.
I am a killer of killers.
And so the ballet ends.
She was off balance, hurting. Presaged by a barrage of jabs and feints, Ardantes prepared to deliver the murder stroke. Until a raking beam of sonic energy denied him, striking the battlements and sending his prey sprawling down into oblivion.
No!
Ardantes raced for the edge of the wall to the place where the assassin had pitched over it. She was gone. A hand on Ardantes' shoulder brought the butcher's axe around, teeth screaming. Vidar blocked the path with his forearm, grunting against the impact.
We're leaving.
Ardantes was still reeling from the loss of his kill.
It would have been beautiful, brother.
His eyes narrowed to slits, equally wrathful.
Why did you do that?
Because of them.
Vidar pulled Ardantes' head around. Clad in the hue of old blood, festooned with chains and the totemic fetishes of their patron, a kill host of hellhounds were coming in from the east and gutting the defenders with their chain blades. The warriors from the gunships had obviously made landfall. Ardantes shrugged off his brother's grip.
We can kill them!
Not these!
Vidar gestured to a chrono implant surgically embedded into the forehead of each renegade.
Death clock. I doubt even you could duel a bio-incendiary, brother. Even if you survived, Lefurian would be pulling bone chips from your face for days. And besides, our forces are somewhat spare.
Most of the cultists were dead, and only a few cohorts of apostates remained. Without Aquilius and his men, their attack on the northeast wall had failed.
Honorless whelps.
Vidar gave the order to retreat, leaving a few dozen zealots behind to cover their escape. He turned to Ardantes, a tectonic boom resounding behind him as the first of the Hellhounds reached its mortal terminus.
We needed Aquilius.
Ardantes scowled. He had lost his prey, and now this skirmish too.
Where is he?
Dead.
The announcement from Lefurion was blunt. Caden glanced askance at him. He was the last of the Flawless to arrive and met the others at the edge of the murder site. Pulsing and writhing with its own anima, the serpentine whip coiled around his wrist trembled with barely checked restraint. Framed between scalp locks of dark, sinuous hair, his hooded eyes narrowed on the bloody remains of Aquilius.
I need no surgical acumen to see that, Lefurion.
Our brother's death is, in itself, remarkable.
Lefurion limped alongside Ardantes.
And you are not unscathed either. Your dances don't usually last long enough for anyone to cut you.
I encountered a Clade killer. Perhaps it was also responsible for this carnage.
Aquilius had been laid open, his armor cracked and split, his organs exposed and steaming. Part of his torso was missing, also his back and abdomen. Most of the skin on his body was flayed off. That too was missing. Encamped on the outskirts of the battlefield, the Incarnadine host had withdrawn its forces until it knew the intentions of the Hellhounds. The other Chaos Renegades were on the opposite side of the Imperials, who must now be thinking they'd prayed to the wrong gods. Vidar turned the corpse over with the muzzle of his carbine to reveal a patch of excised skin.
Trophy-taking doesn't smack of the methods of a Clade killer.
Lefurion was hunched over the body. The apothecary's armor was battered. One shoulder guard was missing, allowing a red raw mass of half-burned flesh to protrude between cuirass and arm greave. A rebreather was fastened to his mouth, and chemical injectors jutted from his back like spines. One arm, crippled like his entire left side, was held close to his chest. Drakes had burned him, seared his skin down until it was black, until the meat beneath sizzled. He'd been left for dead, left by everyone. But Lefurion was as tenacious as he was bitter.
Not easy, removing the skin and flesh. It was tougher than hell-forged iron.
Chain Axe could do that.
Cadon's gaze drifted to the distant camp of the Hellhounds. Like Vidar, he was half-armored, but with a leather-greaved leg studded with spikes. He went unhooded too, his face pale as alabaster, with the flesh-pink eyes of an albino.
Impossible. The Hellhounds just got here.
Vidar paused, scowled.
A vanguard could have landed in advance of the main war party. What do you think, Breth?
Caden didn't answer. He was gone. Ardantes didn't notice his absence. He was stooped over the body, absorbing every abused detail.
Not trophies. Our brother was harvested. Ichthyliad is long dead. And with Aquilius like this...
He nodded at the eviscerated remains.
We three are masters of the Incarnadine host.
Standing, Ardantes gestured to Lefurion.
We four, brother. Yes, four.
Vidar met the apothecary's studiously neutral gaze.
My apologies.
Lefurion bowed to conceal his anger. Before the drakes, before the fire, he too had been flawless. Ardantes switched his attention to Vidar.
You always said one should rise to rule.
Vidar's gaze was on poor, mutilated Aquilius.
Not like this. You could have done this.
Ardantes held up his hand to ward off the inevitable protest.
I could have done this.
It led to an obvious conclusion. Vidar shook his head. Reaving had been much simpler when Ichthyliad was alive.
Cadon was Aquilius' sword brother. They fought at the gate together.
The long war has changed us all, brother.
Indeed. And not only us.
Lefurion was pointing at a gunship landing in the distance. It bore the red and black of the Hellhounds.
Do you think they want parley?
Either that, or blood.
McGannon spoke in harsh, guttural tones. Ardantes wasn't listening. Instead, he observed, found weakness, devised perfect ways to kill the cornate war leader. Vidar negotiated. This was amusing. A warrior reasoning with a dog. Neither warband wanted to fight the other. It would cripple both and leave them vulnerable to other, more predatory forces that dwelled in the Eye. Besides, they would lose Vardas to the Imperials if they succumbed to infighting. Apologies were made for the earlier intrusion of the Blood Kine. McGannon alleged the Chrono Gladiators had killed their handlers and slipped into the path of the Incarnadine host against orders. Ardantes laughed inwardly at the incongruous civility of it all. No mention was made of Aquilius. They had left Lefurion behind to deal with the body, whilst Vidar and Ardantes met the cornate war leader at the landing zone.
Something amuses you, warrior.
McGannon inflected the word like it was an insult. Ardantes hadn't realized he was still laughing.
Slaanesh breeds its followers to embrace all humors, not just color. My uptight brethren.
He fashioned the barb carefully. Ardantes wanted the cornate bastard to snap, to enter a killing rage. Murdering him and the grunting Praetorians standing dutiful as hounds on either side of their war leader would be immensely satisfying. Fortunately for all concerned, Vidar was an arch pragmatist.
All is agreed, then?
He proffered his hand. McGannon seized the wrist instead, crushed it in the warrior's grip a little harder than necessary. Vidar did not flinch.
Very well, then. Hellhounds to the south, Incarnadine host to the north. We meet in the middle. Divide the glory to our patrons.
McGannon grunted, released him and went back to his ship. The engines had not ceased idling since the cornate warriors had landed. Ardantes leaned in to Vidar.
They meant to measure us, gauge our martial strength.
Fortunate I was here to dissuade them from trying to kill us all, then.
Such a clever jester you are, brother.
Vidar watched the black and red gunship depart into the visceral sky.
How would you have done it?
Low. Through the gap in his gorget. First cut pierces the larynx, floods the throat with blood. Second cut bisects the neck. Decapitation in less than 2 seconds, death in less than 4.
You are a consummate killer, Ardantes.
As are you, dear brother.
Vidar sniffed. Dismissive. He knew that already.
War calls. Summon the host. We march on the north wall.
What of Cadon?
Vidar was looking up at the robust silhouette of the bastion.
Let him come when he's blooded them.
And if his vengeance, warranted or not, brings the hellhounds down on us.
Then we had best be ready to kill them all, brother.
I shall pray to Slaanesh that it does.
Cadon was hunting. His fraternal bond with Aquilius had been strong. At the Eternity Gate, they had shed blood together, escaped aboard the same Stormbird when the assault failed. It meant something. Aquilius' death demanded nothing less than death in return.
Caden wanted revenge. The whip that spooled from his wrist was like a living thing. It reacted to his mood, slashing and spitting now as he ranged through the scarred ruins of the battlefield. Any survivors he found, he killed, choking their lives away in the coils of his whip. Blood smoke blighted the horizon, filling the air with copper tang. Hellhounds had made an encampment close by. It would not be hard to infiltrate. With surprise, he could kill enough of a tally to balance the scales. A debt was owed, compounded in blood. Vidar might be brutal, Ardantes swift and deadly, but he was silent. The lash was part of him, a whispering ender of lives. Its barbs extruded venom so toxic, it could even stop the beating hearts of a legionary. Three hellhounds were below, carving up the meat of a slain enemy, preparing to feast.
Death's whisper is upon you, Bray.
Just before he was about to move, Caden felt a tiny sting in his calf through the vulnerable leather greave he wore. Turning, he was about to examine the wound when he froze.
Gods of hell and damn!
Paralysis had spread to his mouth, too. Iron seized his limbs. The lash constricted, crushing his arm in its death throes. But Caden couldn't scream. His eyes did widen when he saw the face of his killer. Unable to fight it. Unable to prevent the monomolecular cutting edge from removing his limbs. Fierce resistance hailed down from the Imperial Bastion as its garrison vented a final, desperate effort in Laz and solid shot. A round smacked off Ardante's shoulder guard, stunning him for a second. Butcher snarled, the edge of Ardante's vision blackening. He drove on, gripping his sword tighter to focus. The summits of the hill and the bastion wall were close. Trenches delineated the buttressed walls, festooned with tank traps and bedded with thick reams of plascrete. Scared men, trying to hide their fear from their comrades, peered through vision slits cut into the metal slabs. Gun barrels poked through, the powder-black muzzles of heavy cannon. Chugging staccato bursts ripped open cultists and threw up stinging pods of earth the Imperials had seeded with razor wire. A low whine birthed overhead, decreasing in pitch as it reached the end of its designated parabola. Ardantes crouched, saw Vidar do the same a few hundred meters across from him. Mortars hit the ground like thunderclaps, releasing micro-tremors that built to full seismic quakes. Cultists and apostates lost their footing and their limbs, but zealotry couldn't be dampened by light ordnance. Survivors, sweeping in behind them, crushed the dead and dying underfoot, screaming the Dark Prince's name. On the southern side of the bastion, Ardantes heard a similar chant offered to the fiery heavens, honoring the throne of skulls. He opened a feed to Vidar.
Hellhounds are engaging.
There was a short delay before the other champion replied.
Be swift. We need to break open these walls, gut them before the dogs have their fill.
Ardantes increased his pace, target-locked the trench. In his head, the music of his killing symphony was playing. In his gauntleted fist, the pleasure-pain impulses increased to excruciating levels. He leapt a nest of spikes protruding from the earthworks, surprising the Vardaskian soldiers as he landed in the trench. Three men died in an eye blink. Another two a second later, as Ardantes painted his surroundings in their warm vitae.
Can you hear it?
Each turn, each pirouette and riposte, every thrust and slash and feint and cut was a part of his artistic, murderous expression. Mercury fast, his sword arm had no equal. At least he had never encountered an opponent who could truly match him. Until the assassin. No one else could hear the music. All they discerned was the screaming. To Ardantes, this was the sweetest refrain of all.
I shall make portraiture of your deaths.
He flowed meticulously along the trench line, racking up kills without the butcher's help. It was gratifying to keep him at bay for a while.
I shall remember them forever and create an epic tapestry of this moment.
Spikes of ecstasy tingled up his spine, sent jolts of sensation throughout his body, and stimulated the pleasure receptors in his brain.
What raptures the Dark Prince affords his true servants.
Nearby, the sonic discord of Vaidar's gift broke like a wave upon the defenders.
Shriek, brother! Speak unto them in your true voice! Drown them in a symphony of pure sensation!
Like a candle flame starved of oxygen, Ardanti's ebullience waned. A figure waited for him in the mouth of the trench. She had abandoned pretense, the fatigues of an engineer melting off her like wax. Beckoning, the assassin assumed a fighting stance. Ardantes pointed at her with his sword.
You killed Aquilius. That is no mean feat, for he was a gifted warrior. Unlike myself, though, he was not perfect.
He smiled. Looking past her, he saw Vardaskian bodies lying in the assassin's wake, finely sliced by a killer's expert blade.
A little mania to your fractured psyche is there. Please tell me you're bringing that to the dance.
They engaged. Blade clashes wove a web of steel too fast to see with mortal eye. Cascading sparks underlit the faces of both combatants. Still, Ardantes kept the butcher at bay. In truth, he loathed this aspect of his character, this imperfection he had to endure. It had its uses. Rage could accomplish much, but it was so unrefined and brutish. Pain, fed through the fibers of the gauntlet, reminded Ardantes of the need to kill. Through the battle fog, he saw hellhounds encroaching once again. Though he needed almost all of his concentration to fight the assassin, he broke off for the breathing room he needed to contact Vaidar.
Our allies in black and red have dishonored us, brother!
Are you at the wall?
Soon, my Clade Killer has returned for the second act.
Vaidar grunted, uninterested in his brother's theatrics.
Just kill her and be done with it. Take her head for Caelan, too. It might improve his mood.
Ardantes defended a series of lightning-quick jabs, analyzing his opponent's form and sword tactics. She was slower. The wound he had dealt in their earlier melee was impeding her skill.
He has returned to the battlefield?
Not yet, brother.
Killing the feed, Ardantes set his mind to killing the assassin. In his peripheral vision, he noticed the hellhounds making firm inroads towards the north wall. Turning aside a deft cut, he seized the assassin's wrist and pulled her in close before she could break the lock. A savage headbutt delivered to the right cheek broke open part of her mask, staggering the bitch.
Coming back was a really bad idea.
Above, Ardantes was acutely aware that Vaidar had reached the wall just ahead of the hellhounds. Desperate defensive fire pounded down from turrets and bunkers as the Imperials unleashed their last defiant salvos. The assassin weaved around a lazy sword thrust, brought her own blade into Ardantes' midriff. Pleasure pain seized the champion, but he turned before more than an inch of steel slipped into flesh, trapping the blade in his left side. Butcher took over, his snapping jaws sinking into the assassin's partially exposed face and tearing a hunk of flesh that revealed glistening bone beneath. Physical trauma slowed her next reaction. A partial defensive block with a secondary weapon allowed Butcher's cleaver to rip a jagged line down her arm. An elbow smash met her chin as she recoiled, then jerked forward, broke the bone. Butcher followed up with a backhand, snapping the assassin's neck as the blow made full contact. She reeled, dizzy, bleeding, dying. A third punch stunned her remaining good arm, shattered the shoulder blade and part of the clavicle. Ardantes watched the entire grisly episode, let his barely caged monster have its fill. Sometimes he lost all account of its murderous rampages. Sometimes the pain of the gauntlet was too much. She fell, pummeled to her knees by a brutal shoulder barge.
Opening her mouth, she tried to speak, but her ruined jaw would not oblige. Butcher buried the chain axe in her head and let it feed. Blood. Thunderous, pounding blood in his ears, the stink of it in his nose, the tang of warm metal coating the inside of his mouth. Blackness crawled in at the edges of sight. An unwelcome passenger, but one he could not deny. Ardantes became aware again to find the north wall was intact and the Chaos Horde repelled. He awoke on a part of the battlefield he did not recognize. Recollection of how he got there was slow to form, the memory fragments red-hazed and visceral. Corpses were slumped within reach of his blade, but his long sword was pristine. Butcher's axe was gore-spattered, so glutted the chain teeth were jammed with ruined meat. Ardantes whispered to the hot wind coming off the distant bastion.
You have been busy.
Despite the evident defeat, the fighting was still going on. Sporadic skirmishes had broken out between cultist forces of the Hellhounds and Incarnadine Host. Punitive Imperial fire put paid to most of that, the fools not realizing they could have simply let the opposing warbands take each other apart and save their ammunition. Violence between the two was fading now, withered by the intervention of a common enemy. But Ardantes saw promised retribution in the eyes of Maganon as he retreated with his men. Spittle foamed at the corners of his mouth, thick with the vitriol of curses. Perhaps the Slaaneshi warriors had struck first. Perhaps he had struck first. Ardantes frowned at the thought, but only because he had no memory of the kills. No perfect kill to savor. He withdrew, waiting tantalizingly at the edge of Imperial range, and waited for Vidar to find him. The hulking champion was in a foul mood, killing three cultists with his bare hands who unwisely strayed into his path as he stalked across the battlefield. Ardantes sheathed his sword. Butcher's chain axe he let hang by a thong of leather from his belt. It stank of slowly putrefying flesh. Hunks of the rancid matter fell away as it shriveled and dried, loosening the teeth.
Caden didn't show.
Vidar was wounded. He shook his head, grimaced. Burn scars ravaged his body where the armor did not protect it. A cut across his eye forced a squint. In the distance, Lefurion was shuffling towards them with an awkward gait. Glancing at the disheveled wretch, so far removed from the scion of perfection he had once been, Ardantes wondered again why the apothecary hadn't simply killed himself.
Defeated again. Our warriors depleted. Now the hounds are after our blood.
Vidar was spitting fury, acid drool smoldering like his mood as it flecked from his mouth.
We lack leadership. Our host needs a single voice to command it.
Your voice, brother.
Lefurion had taken out his Narthesium kit to tend Vidar's wounds.
One who possesses strength. But yes, why not I?
Lefurion paused in his ministrations.
Would you kill for that honor?
Vidar was no fool, and his eyes narrowed at the accusation. A blade he kept strapped to his thigh was loosened in the scabbard.
Implying what, apothecary?
Lefurion held up his good hand in a placatory gesture.
Seriously, brother, you would fight a cripple. It is hardly the kind of sacrifice our Dark Prince would favor, though you would end my daily misery.
Vidar sniffed his contempt, relaxed.
Scarcely worth the effort. End your own suffering if you crave oblivion so much.
And miss your enervating company.
Vidar shaped to draw his blade. Ardantes noticed that Lefurion had a secreted weapon in his vambrace. From the brief glance he'd been afforded, he guessed a vibro knife. Dissension was inevitable, especially in the face of defeat and the prospect of vying with a stronger, more belligerent warband. Snarling, Vidar backed down, but his blood was slow to cool. Out in the field, withdrawing cultists were being scythed to ribbons.
Not the carnage any of us had envisaged. We need this. Our host teeters on the brink. Ever since Ecthiliad, we have been divided. And now Cadon has stirred the bastard hornet's nest with the hellhounds.
The Furian was finishing up his suture work when Ardantes saw the apothecary regarding him intently.
Need something, brother?
During the battle, was Vidar constantly in your eyeline?
Vidar went for his carbine that hung on its flesh strap. Ardantes held up a hand to stop him doing anything rash.
Be sanguine, brothers.
He turned his attention to the apothecary's question.
For the most part.
He opted not to mention the fact that he blacked out when Butcher assumed dominance.
But not the duration.
Vidar was livid and drew his gladius anyway.
Had I wished him dead, I would have challenged Cadon to ritual combat. Unlike some, I preserve our legionary traditions where I can.
We are far from being legion anymore. That ended several lifetimes ago.
Ardantes stepped between them, spreading his arms, gesturing for calm. He scrutinized Lefurian's fire-tortured visage.
What is this about, apothecary?
Lefurian watched Vidar a moment longer, studying his body language to ensure he wasn't about to strike him down in cold blood.
Follow me.
Cadon was bent on one knee, looking down upon the empty field of battle from a rocky promontory. Vidar called out to him.
Brother!
No answer, save for the distant drone of Imperial guns hammering the field below. Vidar exchanged a glance with Ardantes. Weapons drawn, they slowly advanced.
It's Ardantes! Turn and face us, brother!
Cadon didn't move, not even to breathe. One arm was rested over his thigh, whilst the other was shielded by his body and out of sight. His head was stooping, angled too low to see the bastion. That was the first indication that Cadon was not as he should be. As the Flawless crept closer, the second was his missing arm and the gaping chasm in his torso, through which some of his internal organs had been extracted.
A paralytic.
The Furian was the last to reach the summit, but the first to offer an explanation.
It seems like rigor mortis, rendering the victim immobile, but conscious and pain-sensitive.
Vidar had lowered his sonic cannon and was examining the ragged chest cavity.
But that does not explain why his limb and organs were taken. Lungs and oolytic kidney are both missing.
Right arm has been severed from the apex of the brachium, through skin, flesh and bone.
The Furian prodded the cut with his knife.
No jagging. Edges are smooth.
He turned to Ardantes.
Have you ever known Khorne's dogs to be so precise in their mutilations? No chainblade could make such a cut.
I have not.
He glanced at Vidar, then at the diamond-sharp gladius he kept strapped to his thigh. His brother was ambitious, but to kill Cadon, and before him, Aquilius. Only he or Ardantes could have done it. Vidar was cunning, employed guile and battle tactics a Horson of Gilliman would have been proud of. Ardantes knew he himself was simply a superlative warrior. Instinctively, he put a blade length between him and his brother and measured the scales in his mind. Butcher was incapable of committing an act of such care and precision. It was almost surgical in its exactness, even purposeful, though Ardantes could not imagine what that purpose was. Following the homicidal pattern to its conclusion suggested Vidar's next victim. Ardantes drew his sword. There was only one warrior on Vardask with the skill to end Cadon's life and reap his limbs like that. He'd suspected the Clade Killer at first, but she was dead. She could have killed Caden first, returned to the battlefield to face him. But Adantes found that hard to believe. When Butcher had taken the reins earlier, it felt like several minutes had passed before he resumed dominance. More than enough time for Vidar to murder Caden and claim he had been embattled. Vidar turned. His face was incredulous when he saw the drawn blade.
What is this treachery?
Ardantes angled the sword's tip at Vidar's throat. He backed away, closer to the cliff edge.
Speak to me, brother.
The length of his retreating steps receded as he realized how close the edge of the cliff was.
You are the only one left.
Ardantes kept him cornered, his sword held at Vidar's neck.
Who else could it have been but you, dear brother? What have we become that we kill our own? Have you been promised glory? Was it another boon you sought, Vidar?
You are speaking madness, Ardantes. I have no reason to slay Caedon or Aquileus.
Was there flesh and blood an offering for the right? One must rise to rule, you said. We are in need of leadership. These were your words.
Brothers!
Vidar glanced at Lefurion, hoping to see reason, but finding only a contorted mask of pain glaring back at him.
This is conspiracy. I would never slay my own. That bond still means something. It should to you too.
Ardantes clenched his teeth, for once both halves of his psyche in accord.
They were kin, Vidar. Our blood spilled on the same fields of war for millennia.
And you would slay me to compound the deed? You are deluded. Something is amiss here.
His gaze flicked back to Lefurion as he took a step back, but the apothecary was unreadable.
What of the Clade Killer? Or would you prefer to condemn a brother in arms over a sworn enemy?
Ardantes' hollow eyes did not change. Not for a moment. There would be no pleasure in this.
Dead. It leaves only you, my kin.
Another step forward revealed Ardantes' intent. Vidar telegraphed his as the cleft in his chin began to part. Ardantes sank the sword tip into his brother's throat. But not all the way.
Lips sealed.
Remember when brotherhood meant something?
Ardantes withdrew his long sword, and a tiny spume of blood spilled from Vidar's neck.
Draw your gladius. I won't kill you when you're unarmed. Our war bond, our oaths of moment once sworn, have afforded you that at least.
I did not do this.
Something in his brother's eyes made Ardantes pause. He began to lower his sword when a deafening boom sounded from behind him. Struck in the shoulder, Vidar spun and fell off the promontory. Lefurion had his bolt pistol outstretched, the smoking muzzle like a guilty confession.
At this range, with a single word, he would have killed us both.
The apothecary holstered his weapon.
You should have dispatched him immediately, gladius or not. Do you think he gave Aquileus or Caedon such honor? I doubt it.
We are debased creatures, Lefurion. But Vidar was honorable. He saved my life at the gate, has saved it many times over since. I could not just slay him in cold blood, like a beast.
The butcher stirred, but was kept quiescent.
He deserved more than that.
And Caedon, Aquileus, what did they deserve? What of the war on Fardask?
Ardantes looked down, sheathed his blade.
The war is done. Maganon and his warriors will be coming for us when night falls, when the Imperials rest their guns. We are betrayers in his eyes, and the eyes of his cohorts. They will want blood.
Ardantes strode past the apothecary without further comment.
Where are you going?
Below, to find our brother and make certain he is dead.
A lot of blood soaked the gully directly beneath the promontory of rock where Vidar had fallen. But there was no body.
He lives.
It was an unnecessary assertion, but to speak it aloud gave him purpose, sharpened his instinct for the hunt. Vidar had survived. He would want revenge for this. Ardantes didn't know whether to feel concerned or impressed. Lefurion scowled.
He'll return to try and kill us both.
Wouldn't you?
Of course. But we are two, and he...
Do you hear that?
Ardantes turned his eyes to the blackened sky and listened.
Hear what?
Precisely. The bombardment has ceased.
Both looked to the north, where another sound was emanating, one that replaced the tectonic thunder of the Vardaskian barrage. It was chanting, a cry for skulls and the veneration of the blood god. Maganon had come for his piece of flesh. Already his hordes were engaging with the fringes of the Incarnadine host's force. Ardantes ran towards the sounds of slaughter at a sprint before Lefurion could stop him. Through the Hellmist he spied their champion. Six hellhounds, not blood kind, but bonded warriors, lay dead at the blade of Ardantes' sword. It was far from slaked. Butcher had killed two, drinking in their pain to satisfy the gauntlet's hunger, if only for a few seconds. Enemy cultists died in droves, but these were as insects to the flawless. He wanted Maganon. As he faced off against the cornate war leader, it appeared the feeling was mutual. A plethora of skulls, flensed and polished, hung from Maganon's belt. He seized a double-blade glaive in a two-handed grip. Bare arms displayed scores of kill marks. Some were acid-burned in Xenos blood. Others bore the jagged edge cuts of a legion gladius.
A harvest for Carneth, for corn, for the Eater of Worlds.
He slammed the haft of his weapon against his armored chest. The plates glistened as if blood-slicked. Spikes protruded like canine teeth from elbow and shoulder guards. A pair of down-curved horns framed the snarling dog mask of his battle helm.
Death to the worshippers of Slaanesh! Death to the spawn of perversion and depravities of the flesh!
Butcher stirred, but Ardantes fettered the beast with mental chains. For once, his purpose was undivided. His brothers were dead. The Flawless and their host were all but ended. All that remained was the perfect kill. And here was a challenge against one of Ruin's deadliest murderers. Cultists from both sides parted around the closing warriors as if realizing a clash of champions was at hand. Ardantes felt the quickening of his pulse, the double-beating hearts of his transhuman physiology as it prepared him for combat. Maganon broke into a run. He was heavy, hauling his bulk low and squat like a battering ram. Brutalizing enemies was a tactic he had used before.
Your neck! My axe!
The sword slash across his throat arrested Maganon's oath. The glaive dropped to one hand, the other clutched across the spewing artery in his neck.
Do shut up.
Ardantes had weaved aside at the last moment from the killing charge. His arrogance was short-lived, however, as Maganon discarded his blade to punch the other champion in the shoulder. It split the pauldron, titanic in its sheer, awesome power, and put a crack in Ardantes' clavicle. He staggered, unready for such brutal violence. Maganon's wound was clotting, so he let it spew and smacked his bloodied hand across Ardantes' neck, even as the long sword pierced the meat of his torso. It was thick, leathern even, and from the feel of it, Ardantes knew the wound wasn't fatal. It wasn't even debilitating. Bull-like, Maganon pushed the blade embedded in him deeper, locking it in place.
Enfolded as it was by Gristle, Ardantes couldn't free it. A hammer punch delivered two-handed shattered bone and drew a scream of pleasure pain from his lips. He let the sword go, dodged a heavy cross before making a blade of his hand and jabbing it into McGannon's injured neck. The arterial wound reopened, and the cornate champion gagged, backing up. Butcher was straining, grunting for release, but Ardantes would not allow it.
I am the perfect half of us. I will finish this on my own.
A secondary weapon lashed to his hip, a short-bladed spatha replaced the longsword in Ardantes' grasp. Recovering quickly, McGannon closed. He was a pugilist, used to close quarters. Arms flung wide, he attempted to seize his opponent in a bear hug. The brawn in his arms would crush ribs, shatter vertebrae. Then the teeth filed to points, goring flesh. Ardantes saw it all before it happened. Dazed, bones struggling to re-knit, certain he was carrying several critical injuries, he knew he couldn't escape the attack. So he embraced instead. Spatha rotated in his grip so it faced down, the pommel snug in his palm. He thrust himself at McGannon with a roar. The blade sank in, even as the cornate champion's arms wrapped around him. Vice-like, they squeezed. Bones splintered and snapped. A red haze clouded his vision. Ardantes focused on the spatha, pushed it deep, felt hot, vital fluid spilling eagerly onto his chest and the chest of his enemy. Ardantes roared again, a plaintive wail of ecstatic agony, and Butcher roared with him. Two voices, the beast and the angel, conjoined in a final death scream as the spatha jerked once and then slid rapidly up through McGannon's collarbone until it punched out the top of his skull like a spike. He juddered, this taker of heads, this bloody warrior who suckled at the foot of the blood god's throne of brass and iron. Pressure eased, McGannon's grip released. Ardantes fell, several of his bones broken. He lay there, waiting for some lowly cultist to end him, raging at the ignominy of it, but powerless to voice his rancor. Given time, his body would regenerate, but it was too slow. Much too slow. Rough hands seized his shoulders and started to drag as Ardantes was blacking out. Caged in the darkest corner of his psyche, Butcher raged. When it came to danger, the beast's instincts were faultless. This wasn't a rescue. It was retribution. Oblivion closed around Ardantes like a mailed fist, allowing a final utterance before he surrendered to the darkness.
Lufurion was right. I should have killed you, brother.
Vidar looked down at him, dead-eyed and grim-faced. Groggy from his injuries and whatever pain suppressants were flooding his system, it took Ardantes a few moments to realize he was in a ship and no longer on Vardask. The hold was small, cluttered, but he recognized it. A chemical stink pervaded, so too the reek of fresh blood. He tried to move, but couldn't. He wasn't bound, but was lying down. A paralyzing agent had overwhelmed his enhanced physiology and seized his limbs. Breathing was possible, but with some difficulty. Vidar had not moved.
Aren't you going to say anything, kinsman?
Even his tongue was leaden. Clarity and focus were returning, though, and he noticed a broken black line delineating part of Vidar's head. Ardantes frowned, his face still capable of small movements.
Brother.
A rasping voice answered from nearby, echoing in the hold above the low thrum of engine noise.
He cannot answer you.
Vidar did not just look dead. He was dead.
A pity you ran off so swiftly to meet glory, brother. That much blood. I knew Vidar could not have crawled far.
Lufurion stepped into view, framed by a visceral light above.
When I found him, he was weaker than Kadum when the toxin took hold.
lower than Aquilius as I punctured his nerve clusters in just the right sequence to inflict paralyzing agony. His death was the easiest of them all.
He paused to look down at his latest victim.
Actually, no. You were the easiest.
Incredulity creased one side of Ardante's face.
You. Is it so difficult to believe? What reason had you, brother?
Le Furian turned away for a moment. Clattering surgical implements tinkled dully as he chose one from a nearby table. It was a bone saw, thick-teethed, like a chain blade, but neater, and with a vibro-cutter's edge.
Left for dead. Left to the Drake's mercy. Does any of that resonate? I burned, brother. The meat and flesh of me was cooked away, and I burned.
A control slate was in his other hand. Le Furian pressed the icon that would lift the medislab where Ardantes was lying. As the slab slowly ground to a more acute angle, Ardantes saw flesh trophies hanging from hooks in the apothecary's abattoir. Organs preserved in viscous yellow liquids were trapped in glass containers. Beyond them, a body was hanging, much like Vidar's, at the back of the hold. It had no head. Not yet. But one arm was attached to a partial torso. It was Cadence, his hell whip unmistakable. Ardantes recalled the markings on Vidar's head and neck. It would fit the creature taking form at the back of the hold. He also now saw sections of Aquilius' flesh. Thick black stitches ran up the torso, bound arms to sockets, legs to abdomen.
Revenge. Is that what this is about? You will make an effigy of the brothers who wronged you?
Le Furian set the control slate down. He had Ardantes where he needed him now.
There is a race of creatures. Curious, automata-like beings that have mastered the arcane mysteries of biotransference.
He stepped back, gestured to his ruined form.
I need be a cripple no longer.
Fear gripped Ardantes, real human fear. It was a strange but not entirely unpleasant emotion to experience. Le Furian seemed not to notice and continued, prepping the saw for surgery.
Graven Xenos technology possessed by the Eldar can revive the dead, at least in part. I have made a vessel, you see, Ardantes. And much like our venerable brothers who walk the fields of war, still in their tombs of madness and pain, I too shall endure in that different host. Except my transition shall be flawless, just as I was once.
What do you want, Le Furian?
The apothecary shook his head, as if surprised it wasn't obvious.
Why, the same as you, Ardantes.
He closed in, engaging the saw. The whirring teeth kissed his skin, and in seconds were cutting into flesh. Above his screaming and the engines, the last word Ardantes ever heard was almost lost.
Perfection.